crucified, laid behind the stone. You live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You thought you could fall, you thought of me after the fall, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall, you thought of me above all. Glory, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Glory, that's good stuff there. That'll make you grow. Amen, that is some awesome stuff. While you stand, don't go sit down yet. Amen. Go and get your daily calisthenics here at Every Christian Church and Gym. Turn to Psalm 85. Psalm 85. Psalm 85. I'll let you know when it's time. Psalm 85. Got your Bible, say amen. You don't say oh me. That's right. All right. Psalm 85, verse 9. Surely his salvation is nigh unto them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Get ready. Mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Wow. Stretch forth your hands this way. God, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you, God, that you are here, that you are alive, you are well, that you are working in our midst. I thank you, God, for what you've done. I thank you, God, for what you're about to do, Lord. Take your word right now, Lord. Let it work in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. On the way down, give the Lord a hand clap. And look at somebody and say, if the past is behind us, the future is ahead of us, God is with us, and nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Now this is Easter morning, 2021. And, of course, we do back to basics on the very first Sunday. And I'm glad that Easter came on Sunday. Valentine's came on Sunday. Easter came on Sunday. That's good. So back to basics, why the cross? Back to basics, why the cross? I'm glad you asked. Amen. So why the cross? This moment in time forever changed humanity. You have A.D. and B.C. because in the middle, of course, is the cross. It's the dividing line in history. It's not only the dividing line in history, it's the dividing line in your own life. Because we were once lost in sin, born in sin. And because we were born in sin, then we need an innocent sacrifice to be made. Now, so remember now, watch this now. Watch this carefully. Until this moment, man's sin alienated him from God. All right? And so it's here that the sin of mankind met redemption. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Think about this. Jesus, when he hung on the cross, hung between heaven and earth. Think about it. There's the cross. He hung between heaven and earth. When he hung between heaven and earth, that symbolized him reaching up with one hand and grabbing God and reaching down with the other hand and grabbing man. And so it's a very powerful, powerful thought that mercy and truth are met together. Wrath, God's wrath and God's love met on that cross, and God did something special. Y'all listen. Why the cross? Why Jesus? What was God doing? What was God showing us? What was God's plan? It's obvious that Jesus was born for this. Jesus himself was a man of extremes. He was the Son of God and the Son of Man. Anybody wonder why he's the Son of God and the Son of Man? The reason is the Son of God means he came from heaven. He is God's only Son. The Son of Man, that's talking about his divinity. The Son of Man is talking about his humanity. And without both, he could not offer the sacrifice because the sacrifice had to be of like people. It had to be like us. And so he had to be 100% man. But in order to fulfill satisfy the wrath of divinity, he had to be divine. So he's the Son of Man, the Son of God. He's the Lion and the Lamb. Wow. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And so it's hard for the earthly minded, the religious minded, the politically minded to comprehend. If they had comprehended this, they would not have put him on that cross. If they had comprehended this, they would have been different. But they saw him as an insurrectionist. They saw him as trying to tear the religious folk all to pieces, take away their authority, and he was just a carpenter's son. But, go ahead.
When did you know that you prayed for? It's okay to walk on water. When did you know that you prayed for? To save my son and daughters. Did you know that your baby boy is come to make you new? And you shout you deliver. Soon deliver me. When did you know that you're painful? Beside you, a blind man. When did you know that you're painful? With all the seas with his hands. Did you know that your baby boy is offering his life? When you kissed a little baby, you kissed the face of God. Where did you know? The blind will see, the dead will hear, the dead. The lame will leap, the tongue will speak, praises of the land. When did you since your baby boy. Woo! His love creation.
Come on, come on.
And did you know that your baby boy it's your baby boy. His head is perfect now. He's sleeping in the baby. He's the great I am.
Glory! Woo! Glory! Powerful! Powerful, powerful. The cross. On the cross, it seemed that death had won. It seemed that the cross would be the end of him. That they would finally steal his voice. They would finally end his message. They would finally, the religious crowd would get their authority back, and the Romans would get their authority back, because everybody was losing their authority because of this miracle man. They had no idea, though, that they were only making him stronger. That the cross did not silence him. Matter of fact, today we had communion because of the cross, because he rose again. Even in the dark hours when he was dying, there were seven sayings. I said, back to basics, why the cross? His seven sayings tell us all we need to know about the cross. The seven words, they ring out in time. And not only to ring out time, but they tell us the basics of the cross. So here we go. Get ready. Get ready. Forgiveness. There's not a person in this place that has no need of forgiveness. Amen? Daily we sin against God. Oh, I don't. Yes, you do. Daily we sin against God. Daily we even sin against each other. Or you may think, well, there's a little white sin and there's the big black sin. No, Jesus, the Bible says when John the Baptist saw him, said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." There's not the little white sins and then the big black sins. Sin is sin. And so, very first thing he said was, "Father, forgive them." Well, they know not what they do. This is sovereignty talking, but this doesn't make sense. Because first, it's an unnatural request. This man's dying. This man is laid up on the cross. His hands are pierced. His feet are pierced. He's between two thieves. He can go nowhere. And yet he's offering forgiveness. It's unnatural. It's also an unselfish request. Instead of thinking about himself while he's being beat, an innocent being beat for the guilty, instead he is thinking about somebody else. And it's an unhinged request. That cross didn't stop what he was saying. Matter of fact, that cross empowered the forgiveness that he was about to bring to all. And then, hey, look, in words of sincerity, you know, see, man was ignorant. They had no idea. Again, if they had any idea what they were doing, they would not have crucified him. Well, those women, they're also indifferent. Some of those guys at the cross, they were taking his robes. They were playing dice, trying to see who won what. They took his possessions away. They didn't care. It was just an indifference. To the Romans, this was their form of recreation. They were murderers. And they were having a good time as they murdered Jesus on the cross. Now, they have a man's inadequacy. We can't forgive ourselves. No matter how hard we try, we cannot. Look at somebody and say, you cannot save yourself. I've never seen a drowning man save another drowning man. Nope. You know, I was thinking back, you know, we were riding some horses on English saddles last week, and I thought about the time me and Daniel, I'd worked on my boss man's stuff for him in Greenville, and so in turn for me working on his electrical, he was giving Beverly riding lessons. They were English saddle riding lessons, and me and Daniel got up there. DC was on his roll. He took off. I got up there, and Daniel said, I'm riding with you, Daddy. So he gets up there, and Daniel says, where's the horn? I went, there is none, son. He said, and the lady said, that's what we call an English saddle. I looked at Daniel and I said, bud, if something goes wrong, it's every man for himself. Because I got nothing to grab. DC took off and I got off. Amen. So look, again, mercy and truth met together, righteous of peace. They kissed each other. You see, our greatest need, I want you to watch this, look at this. Our greatest need, if it had been information, God would have sent an educator. If it had been technology, God would have sent a scientist. If it had been money, God would have sent us a banker. If it had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So he sent us a Savior. Let's look at his next saying. Something else everybody needs, especially in this day and time, is hope. There's so much junk going around. We've got the virus. And not only do we have the virus, we've got a virus that's been politicized and been beat to death. And people are using it for their own gain, their own selfish gain. And there's all kinds of mess going on. Yes, there is a virus. And yes, people are dying. And I'm not discounting that. It's real. It's absolutely real. I mean, that's why I'm wearing a mask here now. None of that, but it makes me prettier. Tomorrow I get my second vaccination. So I have my vaccinations tomorrow. I get my rabies shot, my distemper shot. I'm getting mine at the vet's office. It's cheaper that way. We need hope. We need somebody to show us some hope. You know, the hope is not in the government. The hope is not in the Democrats. The hope is not in Republicans. The hope is not in independents. The hope is in Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus Christ is being pushed back so hard and pushed down so hard, and why the Christians are being pushed so hard is because we have the answer, and Satan knows it. And because he knows it, he tries to keep it out of the way. But on the cross, there was hope. There were three crosses that day, and this was actually what brought this all about, because this is what I was actually working on when I went this way. But first, on the cross, watch this. First, there was redemption. Secondly, there was rejection. And third, there was repentance. Now, I want you to think about something. I'm not going to sit back and read all the scriptures because it's there, and you're hearing the words from the cross. But the Bible said that both thieves in the beginning mocked him. Both thieves. It's amazing to me. You see grace really in action because they're both mocking him. They were actually seeking temporary relief from their pain. But then the other one wised up. And said, wait a minute. We've done what we're up here because we're guilty. I mean, a malefactor was so mean and so bad, they didn't even exile him to the Isle of Patmos. They wouldn't put him on the rock pile. he was so bad they would just kill him to rid society of the virus. And so here's Jesus who's carrying the virus of sin upon him. First, the two thieves are both criticizing him and mocking him, but then the other one wakes up. Words of hope. You see, he said, remember me when you get to your kingdom. He said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Now look, that lets me know that you're never too bad. That malefactor, not only did he deserve to be on the cross, in the very beginning of the cross, he even blasted Jesus. Wow. I know nobody in here has ever accused Jesus of anything. If you haven't, adjust your halo. God, I thought you were watching me. God, I thought you had this. God, I thought things were going to be different than this. Why did it turn out this way, God? I'm trying to trust you, but sometimes it's so hard to trust. Here's the malefactor, though. When he asked Jesus to remember him, shows you, number one, you're never too bad, and it's never too late. They were on the cross. He didn't have time to go join the church. He didn't have time to get baptized. He didn't get time to sing Amazing Grace. He didn't get time to go to church. All he got time for was to say, Father, or remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's it. Just remember me when you get there. That's hope. And in this day and time that we live in, I thank God that our hope is in Jesus Christ and His cross. And I thank God that even though we're still under partial lockdown, nothing can keep Him away. Amen? So now, watch this. We're getting ready to go. Next is care. Have you ever felt like nobody cared for you? Have you ever felt like, here I am, everybody's just criticizing, but who cares? You feel like you're just a doll that somebody's constantly throwing darts at. Have you ever felt that way? If you have, you're in good company because everybody in here has felt that. Amen? Everybody in here said, God, I need somebody to care. Well, you see, Jesus was showing how He cares for us on that cross because He said to His mother, woman, behold thy son. And to His disciple John, He said, behold thy mother, John 19:26. Now, I want you to think about something. Now, listen carefully. Mary had four other sons, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. She had four more boys. Where were they? Their brother's on the cross. They thought it was a fruitcake to start with. They didn't believe him. He's on the cross. Their mother is torn all to pieces. And where are they? Wow. It's amazing how sometimes you think somebody's going to be there for you and they're not. And when they're not, you begin to think nobody cares. I want you to remember one thing. Jesus always cares. Always cares. Watch this. Watch this. John 7:5 says that during His ministry, Jesus' brother did not believe in Him. And instead of being consumed with His own pain and misery, He was caring for those around Him. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. You say, well, if I was there, I'm glad I didn't nail the nails in His hand. I'm sorry, you did. All you got to do is remember, He died for our sins, and our sins put Him on the cross. Every man's born into sin. All right? So watch this. He's more concerned about his mother. And so, He cares. Man, does He care for us. You ever been lonely? You ever felt like you were all alone? Like you were carrying the whole burden yourself? We all have. There's times you feel like you're in the, whatever you're in it all by yourself. I know I feel that. We all feel that. There's a difference in being alone and being lonely. Aloneness is good. Aloneness, I can think. When there's aloneness, I can listen to God. I can talk to God. I can pray. But when I'm lonely, I may not even be able to hear Him. Because every man, every woman has a connection within, and number one, to be communicating with God and be communicating with others. Especially those that are loved ones. He said, Eli lama sabachthani, my God, why has thou forsaken me? He experienced loneliness on the cross. God, who he had been with in eternity up to this point, he had never been separated from his Father. Never. But when he became, the Bible says he became sin for us. Became sin. And when he became sin, the Father went. Wow. He's on the cross. He's had both types of capital punishment. One was the scourging, and if you happen to survive the scourging, let me just describe the scourging for just a second. The scourging, there's several ways they would do it. They would either take your hands and take your feet, and they would tie your feet and your hands. They would stretch you out this way, or they would take your hands and pull you up, and you saw how they were scourging him there, and they would tie you to a post. Sometimes they'd even take you up in the air, and then two lictors. The lictors were there. These two guys, Roman soldiers, trained in death. Had cats of nine tails. The cats of nine tails was a whip, and it could wrap all the way around your body. There was nine tails on this whip. It was laced with rock. It was laced with glass. It was laced with wire, and they would even have hooks. And they would take it and they would throw it around the person. It would go all the way around and it would stick, and then they would yank it. And so it would literally tear the flesh off of your body. Historians at the time say, and it would break bones, it would take ribs away, it would take bones out of your leg, out of your arms. And historians say that Jesus, his organs were even exposed from this torture, the scourging. There was a guy called the tribune, and the tribune sat there, and he would watch. And when he thought that you had enough, usually when they pass out, he would go, stop. And then there was guys standing around with buckets of salt water. And he would throw salt water onto the person being scourged. It would shock them. If they woke up, then he would say, go again. Go again. People say it took 39 strikes. Let me tell you something. That's if the Jews are doing it. The Romans were doing it. They didn't have that cap of 39 stripes. They did it till they thought he was at the point of death, and then they would stop. Then Pilate tried to give him back to the people, but the people didn't want him. The religious crowd kept saying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. So he said, I'll wash my hands of it, crucify him. If you survived the scourging, you lived. Nobody survived the cross. So the difference in him and the two thieves on the cross, they were nailed up there too. They were beat, but not like this. They were not scourged. Jesus took both forms of capital punishment. The other guys had only taken one form. And so here he is. And of course, you see Leonardo da Vinci and Michelangelo and all these guys make these pictures of Jesus on the cross and out of marble and stuff, and it looks like there's nothing wrong. He's just up there having a bad hair day. No. What you're seeing here is what it looked like. And not only that, but they stripped him naked. And so he's naked up on the cross, beat beyond recognition. The Bible says he was beat beyond recognition. And people looking at him, staring at him, spitting on him. Animals would come by, they would nip at the feet. Birds would come by, they would nip at the body because of the flesh, having the blood. All that going on, the soldiers gambling for his clothes, and still he felt alone. Wow. He did that so you don't have to feel alone. He did that so you could understand that He's always there for you. No matter how bad you've got it, He knows what it's about. You know, I'm wearing the God's Got This. Bethany, Team Bethany, God's Got This. Bethany, bless her heart, that cancer just ate her up. But I never, not one time, not once, heard her complain. Not once. I'd say, "How you doing, girl?" And she'd always say, "I'm okay, Dad. God's got this. Are you okay?" Now, "I'm okay, Bethany, but are you okay?" "I'm fine, Dad." And finally, the last night she could speak, I was by her bed. And the only thing I even heard of her that even had any kind of thought of this, I'm by her bed, I'm in a chair, she hadn't spoken hours. And I hear her go, "Dad, Dad." And I said, "What, Beth?" And she said, "I think I'm scared." And I stood up and I walked over to her and I held her hands. And I said, "It's okay, baby. Daddy's scared too." I said, "But we know what." She says, "Yeah, God's got this." I said, "God's got it." And I prayed with her and she went back to sleep. Loneliness. Have you ever felt that way? 1 Corinthians 5:21, He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. At this moment, the Father placed on him the sins of humanity to be paid and to break the chains. The power of sin separates us, but it also invites us. Think about this. I want you to hear something. Please hear me. We think about the power of sin. All we think about is bad, 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 bad. Let me tell you something. Yes, it separates us from God, but the power of sin also invites us, when we're tired of it, to give it to God. And God knows when we need Him. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:15-16, the high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. He was faced with all the same testings we do, yet He did not sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the cross. You suffering? You feeling pain? He said, "I'm thirsty." His body fluids were quickly leaving his body. His heart would soon burst open. And he said, "I'm thirsty." You see, the end was close. Not only was the end close, Jesus had endured and overcome the heat, the pain, the rejection, the loneliness. But now the living water is thirsty. But knowing all was now completed, so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." Something special about this phrase. It points to first His humanity, "I thirst." It points to His divinity, knowing that all was completed. Psalm 69:21 says, "They gave me gall for my meat, and in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink." Triumph. He said, "It is finished." The words of Christ on the cross is one of triumph. He triumphed and announced it for all to hear. Matter of fact, one version of the Gospels has this as the very last heart. The other one has into my hands, like it means your spirit. But here's how it goes. Let me tell you something. Somebody on the cross, let me just describe this agony. He's already beat. When they put him on the cross, they dislocated his hips. Every person on the cross, they dislocated their hips. And they would dislocate their shoulders. They wanted you to feel pain in its worst possible way. They pierced his hands, and they didn't go here because they would pull off through the fingers. They pierced them here. Archaeologists have gone through and found that some guys, they see where the bones, the people that have been crucified, where the nails went through here. Some of their feet were like this, some of their feet were like this, and some of their feet were turned sideways. And the bone, it was pierced right through the bone on both feet like this, and so they'd be on the cross like this. Well, while on this cross, they also had a metal protrusion right here coming out of the cross. So in order to breathe, because you're already losing, he was losing precious fluid. In order to get relief for his hands, he had to push up on his feet, which would cause immediate pain. And then he had to let off his feet, and then the pain would shoot to his hands again. In order to breathe, he had to push up on his feet. And to talk, he had to go back down in order to exhale. I can see it now. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Today, thou wilt be with me in paradise. Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. A thirst. Pain radiating. That's still right in his back. There's no way to get any relief. But the Bible says when he cried, it is finished. It said he cried with a loud voice. He weren't trying to breathe and talk. It said he cried with a loud voice. Can you imagine the scene? Everybody's around watching what's going to happen. And he's barely talking, the fluid leaving his body, his heart getting ready to burst. And he goes, "It is finished!" Wow. The levy was paid. Sin was paid for. We don't have to be held captive to the power of sin anymore. Why? Because it is finished. Let me tell you something about this. Let's get this going on here. Look. Jesus had completed his work. He completed his mission. He completed his task. He was not crying the cry of a defeated martyr, but of a victorious conqueror. Wow, what a reunion. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Jesus was called out with a loud voice. And then with Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. Think about this. At 6 hours on the cross, he looked forward to being fully reunited with the Father. The Father now was looking at him again. At this moment, Jesus died for you. He died for me. I thank him for what he did. He became the true Passover sacrifice for everyone. Thank you. He died. Somebody say he died. They tried to say that he just went into a trance, or he just scooped down and went and just lost it for a while, and they took him and put him and nursed him back to health, and that's how he resurrected on the third day. Or they said to put somebody else on the cross and died in his place. And no, Jesus, I should have been the one on the cross, and they put Jesus on there, and he died in my place. Amen. Amen. Come on, y'all. Amen. And listen, he didn't swoon. He didn't just go out of here. He died graveyard dead. The sacrificial lamb had every bit of blood drained out of him. Jesus had every bit of blood drained out of him. When they went into his side, they got water. Why? Because he'd already, his lungs and everything had collapsed, and his lungs are filled up with water because of all this. He was graveyard dead. But on the third day, come on now, on the third day, he said, I'll be like Jonah. I'll be in the, he was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, and he came out all right. I will be just like Jonah. I'll be a sign. Jonah is the sign. I'm coming back. And praise God, 3 days later, it was awesome. Now watch this. I want to tell you something about this. You saw what was going on. First, he died the most horrible death. Why? Because he wanted to feel death in his worst horror. So he could say, I've been tempted as you are and are overcame. They buried him in a barred grave. They sealed a tomb and set a watch. All they could do was keep his disciples out. They couldn't keep him in. Oh, come on. They could keep everybody out, but they couldn't keep him in. I'm here to tell you, oh, come on now. They could keep everybody else out, but they couldn't keep Jesus in. Why? Because he was alive. He rose. Amen. You know, Matthew 27:51 says, when he cried, it is finished. And when he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And there was a great earthquake. The Bible says that the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. The veil was there to separate the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could go in once a year. And when he went in once a year, he had to wear a veil. He wore bells on his garment, and he wore a matter of fact, the Jewish writing said it was a golden rope. He wore a golden rope around his leg, and he had pomegranates and bells on his vest. And when he went in to make sacrifice for Israel, the number one sacrifice of the year, they had to hear the bells ringing. And when the bells stopped ringing, then that meant that God had not accepted his sacrifice for himself, or had not accepted the sacrifice for Israel, and God killed him right on the spot. I tell you one thing, that would change a lot of preachers' mind, wouldn't it? And they couldn't go back there, so they had the golden rope tied on his leg, around his ankle, and they would drag him out because they couldn't go back there. That's how serious this was. But the Bible says Jesus became our high priest. And when he went behind the wall, God reached down and he grabbed that veil that had separated man and God's holiness and tore it from top to the bottom. He just went, oop, there it is. Come on, y'all. Y'all say it with me. Oop, there it is. Yeah, God took care of business for us. Amen. So look, he overcame. Look, he overcame death, hell, and the grave. He can help you overcome any problem, any addiction, anything that separates you from God. I want you I was viewing and I happened to run across this and I wanted to share this with you. Ready? Here it goes. Everybody stand. BJ, DC. Because of the empty tomb, I don't have to live an empty life. Because of the empty tomb, I can live a lovely, wonderful life. Because the Bible said when they went to go there in the morning, the stone was rolled away on the third day. And the angels were there and they said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. God's got this. God's got this. Come on, y'all. God's got this. God's got this. He proved it on the cross. Why the cross? Because the cross takes care of my loneliness. The cross takes care of my shame. The cross takes care of my hurt. The cross takes care of my unforgiveness. The cross, the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross. It's the cross. Amen? Amen, 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 amen. Now, I want everybody, yeah, come on, come on, come on. Now, we're going to do something a little different here. I want everybody just to bow your heads. Everybody bow your heads, close your eyes. Bow your heads, close your eyes. First thing I'm going to ask you. Of course, I wanted to show you the cross so you'd understand that honestly, I don't know of anything you could have done that God won't forgive you for. He takes away the sin of the world. The sin of the world. If you're here today, and you know, and nobody's got to tell you, nobody's got to push it down your throat, nobody's got to ram you to the altar. You don't have to come to the altar. In your seat, every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. If you know that you and God aren't where you're supposed to be, nobody's got to tell you, you know. I ain't got to preach it to you, you know. Your wife, your husband, your children, your parents. Nobody has to tell you, you know. If you're not where you need to be with God, and I'm not going to make an object of you, I'm not going to make a spectacle, nobody's even going to see you. If you're here today and you know that you're not where you should be with God, you know that you and God aren't in a tight relationship like you once were or like you would like it to be, nobody looking around, the first step is to come in agreement and to confess it. Here's how it's going to be. If you're here and you know you're not where you should be with God, nobody looking around, quickly, just put your hand up. Just put your hand up. Put your hand up. Put your hand up. You can put them down now. Hands going up everywhere. Put your hands down. That doesn't mean you're backslidden. It doesn't mean that you're in bad shape. What it means is you're not in the best of shape. It means that you and God got to get it back together again. Some may have backslid. Others, you need to front slide right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I want y'all to repeat after me. Everybody, Lord, today I realize the pain you took on that cross. And I realize it was for me. And I thank you for what you did. I confess I'm not where I should be with you. And I confess I'm not where I want to be with you. But I accept your full pardon and your full forgiveness. Draw me close and help me stay in your pocket. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Go ahead. Now, one more time, bow your head. One more time, bow your head, bow your head. Close your eyes. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, you know, I'm glad he just said who isn't as close as they want to be, because I got other things. I'm close to God, but I'm my biggest problem. I'm glad he didn't call me out. Guess what? I'm calling you out. Right now, if you're your biggest problem, oh, you'd like to blame somebody else. Blaming soothes your conscience, but it doesn't take responsibility and it doesn't cause healing. All it causes is more collateral damage because you want to blame everybody else. It's their fault. It's their fault. It's their fault. It's their fault. No. I can tell you the person I had the most trouble with every day of my life is the person that I put his shoes on, I brush his teeth, I comb his hair. I call him David because we tight like that. Mama called me Cricket. And she would tell me when I was younger, son, if you would get out of your way, you'd do something. She's dead and gone, but now God tells me the same thing. Son, if you get out your way, your own way. Wow. So right now, if nobody looking around, just me and y'all, and I'm your friend, I'm David, I'm your friend, I'm holding my hand up too. If you could say, I'm my biggest obstacle, I'm my biggest problem, and I need God to help me with me. I'm close to God, but I'm still in my way. Would you put that hand up and say, I need God to help me take care of me? Amen. Hands going up everywhere. Hey, I got both hands. I put up both feet, but I'd fall. Right now, ready? Pray with me. Lord, I readily take responsibility for me. I place blame on no one. Help me to get out of my way so you can use me as you would like. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for that. And I thank you for this day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise again. We're getting ready to close on Tuesday nights.